The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome, everyone, to our annual MLB prediction show. This is, I can't speak for the entire crew necessarily, but it's my favorite show of the year because it's a few days away from opening day. Typically, we do it on Monday night, the week of opening day. Full crew tonight, as you can see here on the screen, all six of the Bastards are here. We are going to start with our division winners across the American League. Then we'll do our wild cards. Then we'll do our Cy Young and MVPs. Then we will flip it to the National League, do the same exact thing. And then in the very end, we will do our World Series matchups. So I'm going to skip the hi, how are yous. This is going to be a long show. If you're listening on your commute, probably going to take you two or three commutes at least to get through this. And if you're live on the apps with us, get a beer, a snack, and enjoy the ride. So we will start with the American League East. Nick Diamond will lead us off. Who do you have winning the division, Nick?
I got our Boston Red Sox winning the division. It took me a lot to put them there. I had the Yankees. I had the Orioles at one point. I guess the Red Sox are coming out of spring training the healthiest out of those, the three top teams at the in the East. The Rays just lost Shane McClanahan for a long time. You know, the Yankees are without Cole and multiple other pieces. Stanton's probably at loss for the year. We don't know how long Grayson Rodriguez is going to be out. I think as long as the Red Sox stay healthy, they have the team to win the division. I have them 89-73. I think they have the upside to win more than that.
Charlie.
For all the reasons that Nick just said, the Red Sox are going to win. We're going to bring it back to back. Red Sox are going to win that division. And one of the biggest reasons why is going to be because we have, I'm foreshadowing here, in my opinion, the best pitcher in major or in the American League playing for our team. So Garrett Crochet's addition to this team at the forefront allows your guys that have now or used to be thrust into a position or spot in the rotation where they were not prepared, nor were they set up for success, an opportunity for that success, because now you have that absolute workhorse in your one slot. So I'm not sure if I'd say the Red Sox are quite at 89 yet. I have to think a little bit more about what number, but as Nick mentioned, McClanahan's gone. The Yankees have lost Cole. They also lost Juan Soto to the Mets. So this entire division took a step back. Baltimore lost Corbin Burns. I mean, the slaps just keep hitting and it's not going in any other direction other than the right one for us. So again, Sox, easy.
Evan.
I got to go with the Red Sox for the three-peat here. Going to keep it short and sweet. I can't find a better team in the American League. Spoiler. I most certainly can't find a better team in the American League East. The Yankees are decimated and old. Most of us are also decimated and old, so not hating, just stating a fact. The Orioles are, I don't know, I'm just not an Orioles guy. Me and Terry have a bet about the Rays. I'm out on the Rays for a multitude of reasons. And the Blue Jays, there's a good chance that they sell at the deadline. So, yeah, I'm going to go Sox.
Jason.
Okay, I'll be the turn in the punch bowl. I'm going with the Orioles. And it's not that I don't think the Red Sox are going to be really good this year. I think they are. But right now, I like Baltimore's lineup better than Boston's. I like Boston's rotation a little bit better. But I look at the Orioles as one of those teams that's going to be very aggressive at the deadline. And I could see them fixing that issue pretty quick. Like, I could see them picking up Alcantara at the deadline or Dylan Cease at the deadline if he's still around. So I think Baltimore will address that issue. They've got a good bullpen as well. Their bullpen is certainly better than Boston's with Batista coming back. I think Henderson is due to have an MVP caliber type of year once again. So I just think Baltimore's lineup is a little bit better. And again, I think they'll be more aggressive at the deadline. I think the Red Sox fired their biggest bullet when they went out and got Crochet. I don't think Breslow is going to have the gumption to make a big trade at the deadline to get over the hump, to get past Baltimore, but I think the Orioles will. So for that reason, I'll go with Baltimore.
Jeremy.
I'm going to go Yankees. I know they have question marks. I know they lost Cole. I'm not going to be overly fixated on one guy going down. I think they're going to hit, and I think they have enough pitching. I'm sure they're glad they didn't trade Stroman, because he now is the depth piece you need to step in there and give you some innings. They're also committed to winning. I don't doubt that if they're in it, they're going to add at the deadline and try to do everything they can to get back to the World Series. I'm saying they will. And before anybody jumps on me, I'm not saying the Red Sox won't do it. It's just my predictions, the Yankees. And the last thing I'll say about that is this roster has won. They got to the World Series last year. Our roster has not. So, you know, I see this is the year where we get in through the wild card, learn how to win, have the expectation to win, and next year we're the team to beat. But I'm going Yankees this year.
Well, that unraveled quickly. I have the Red Sox. Bear with me one second. My laptop was not plugged in, but it is now. So, basically, I think the Yankees have kind of taken a step back. They just activated Carlos Carrasco, who I think is just going to get destroyed in that ballpark. They do have an aggressive front office that'll make necessary moves, though. So we'll see. But I'm going to go with the Red Sox. I think this rotation, you could switch, assuming Buehler stays healthy. That's still, you know, a wild card at the moment. But if the playoffs are an indicator that he's bouncing back, and then spring training's an indicator that he's bouncing back, I think Crochet, Buehler, and Houck could have been a 1-2-3 in any of our World Series winning rotations. I think these three could have gotten it done. So not saying we're going to win it this year, but this is by and large the best rotation we've had in a long time. I think it's potentially the best lineup in the division. Bullpen's a little bit of a wild card, but comfortably I have us into the 90s, and I don't see why we couldn't be a 97 or 98 win team if the stars align. So Red Sox for me. Over to the American League Central. Nick, this is going to be an interesting division. Who do you have?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting division that I think three teams could realistically win. If you want to add the Twins in there, I think four can. But I'm going to pick the Kansas City Royals, the team that made the playoffs last year, won a playoff series against the Orioles. I just think the rotation is dominant at the top, led by Reagans, Seth Lugo, Waka, and they brought back Michael Lorenzen. They have a bunch of options out there with Kyle Wright and Alec Marsh. Those guys aren't great, but they're still decent back-end options. I think offensively they'll be fine. I know they traded Brady Singer for just Jonathan India. Jonathan India slotted in second base will fill a big hole there. I think Bobby Witt will be Bobby Witt. He'll be the best player in baseball, at least in the American League this year. So, yeah, I'm going to pick the Royals. I think they'll be the 2 seed in the American League with the Red Sox being the 3 seed. So I'll have the Royals in a weaker division. I think that's why they win so many games. I think they're a good team with a great rotation, and they'll be the 2 seed in the Central Division winner.
Charlie.
Yeah, I'm going to buck from this one. I actually have the Tigers going this year. You think about the teams that have absolute workhorses at the front of their rotation. And I already love Garrett Crochet as my guy. The second best pitcher in the American League, because I don't think he's going to repeat what he did last year, is Tarik Skubal. And you got that with Jack Flaherty, 1-2. I think there are a couple players in that lineup that could potentially take a step up from where they were last year. I know that Parker Meadows is out right now, but you have Riley Green. You can't sleep on him. I think Gleyber Torres wants to show everyone that he's not just a has-been. I'm really hoping that Spencer Torkelson is not done, but I'd love to see something good come out of him. I don't mind their bullpen either. I think their closer is great. And outside of you know, a couple other, like, one or two pieces, if they lose one of those guys, I think their team is just about done. I think Detroit has the pieces to be able to withstand one or two injuries. I don't feel that way about the other team. So I don't think this is a sneaky pick. I think this is going to be one that a lot of people will go with. But, you know, again, you know, going after Nick is a hard act to follow because he's got all the information down packed. There are a couple teams that could make it. I just felt that Detroit here made the most sense.
For me, I got to go Cleveland. Long story short, good teams just find a way. You're going to hear me say that a couple times throughout this episode. You know, you have Class A holding down the back end of the bullpen, and the bullpen as a whole is a huge strength. The starting rotation is always solid. It doesn't matter who it is. They're a lot like the Rays. They always just kind of have guys that come in and throw meaningful innings for them. The division itself is pretty weak. I think the Royals are due to take a step back. That's not to say they're not going to be good. I think they're going to finish second, but, you know, relying on Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha and Michael Lorenzen to pitch, you know, 30 starts apiece again at their age and their track record, I don't know if I put a whole lot of stock into it. I think the Nolan Jones trade was sneaky. That definitely kind of confirmed my gut when I was making this list the other day. I just think the lineup, I mean, they have studs, man. I mean, Jose Ramirez is top tier. He doesn't get talked about enough. I think he's so underrated that it's become cool to call him underrated to the point where he's almost overrated, but it's a confusing trend there. But I love Jose Ramirez. He can swipe you 30, he can hit you 30, and he's going to play Gold Glove defense. All in all, I think the Guardians will win this division because they're the best run organization out of all of the mid-tier AL Central teams. I only have them getting 90 wins, but I think that gets it done.
Jason.
I'm going with the Royals. I'm going to go with Nick on this one. I still like the rotation. I know that Lugo and Wacha are getting up there age-wise. I know Lorenzen struggled as a starter at times, but Cole Reagans, I mean, you guys talked about Crochet and Tarik Skubal. Cole Reagans might be the third best pitcher in the American League. I mean, he's really good. He's probably going to get Cy Young votes again this year. And I like some of the smaller moves that Kansas City did, picking up Jonathan India to play second base. That's a guy who, you know, still has a lot of upside, needed a change of scenery away from Cincinnati. I think he'll do pretty well there. So, you know, they picked up Carlos Estevez to bolster the back end of their bullpen as well. I think that was a good move. And as far as the other teams in the Central, I didn't like what Cleveland did in their offseason, trading away Josh Naylor, letting Andrés Giménez go. I feel like they really weakened their lineup. Detroit has a chance to be plucky, but I don't really trust their lineup. And that's the same with Minnesota. I think Minnesota's lineup is kind of dog food. And we all know that Byron Buxton is going to, you know, go down with an injury at some point. So they're going to lose one of their best right-handed bats. They'll always have the pitching over there in Minnesota, but they just never have enough offense to really compete with the top dogs in the American League. So, look, Kansas City's got Bobby Witt Jr. He's, you know, runner-up MVP, probably due for another 30-30 season. You know, he's going to lead that offense. Bottom half of their lineup is a bit concerning, but I think they've got some young guys that can come up and also supplement that halfway through the season. So I like the Royals. I just like their rotation and everything else that they did. So I'm going with Kansas City.
Jeremy.
I'm with Nick and Jason. I won't restate the basis for it, but I think especially their pitching pushed them over the top. So,
yeah, I guess not a lot of diversity with our picks here. I also picked the Royals to win last year. And I think they've gotten a little bit better with the addition of Jonathan India. Carlos Estevez will be closing for them. I think their rotation is as good as anyone's. Cleveland does have a good rotation, but I think their offense is one of the better in the division as well. You know, the Twins might have it if Buxton and Royce Lewis could both stay healthy, but they never do. So, so it's kind of, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with the Royals here. The Tigers, they brought back Flaherty, which is nice. Hopefully he'll continue to stay healthy, but that's far from a guarantee. They picked up Gleyber Torres, who will be adequate. But beyond that, they put all their eggs in the Alex Bregman basket and didn't seem to have a plan B. They had trade capital. They've got a top five farm, and they opted not to, you know, move anyone. So I think the Tigers overachieved, and I also think the Guardians overachieved last year to get to the ALCS. And like Jason said, you know, one of the best first basemen in the league, one of the best offensive first basemen in the league, they shipped out to Arizona. So I think their offense is a little worse. So we'll see. Royals for me. Over to the American League West. Theoretically, this should be another interesting division, but we'll see where we all stand here. Nick, who do you have winning the American League West?
I have this team being the best team in the American League. I think they have the best roster. It's the Texas Rangers. Jacob DeGrom's coming back. They're going to have a rotation with DeGrom, Eovaldi. I think Kumar Rocker is going to have a big season. I'm really high on him. And they still have probably the best offense out there with Simeon, Seager up the middle, Jung at third base. They got Kyle Higashioka, Jock Peterson coming in. They brought in Chris Martin to the bullpen. I think they're stacked and ready to go. I think Wyatt Langford's going to come back and have a huge second season. I just say as long as they're healthy, they're the best team in the American League, and it's really not even close. The Astros got worse. They're playing Altuve out in the outfield. I think the A's really did improve. I think they'll probably be around a 75 to 80 win team. I think they're going to have a really good season, but they're not going to be able to compete with the top of the rotation or the top of the division. I think the Mariners don't have enough offense, and Kirby's hurt. I just don't think they have enough. So I'm going to go with the Rangers, and I think they win it by a good amount.
I was actually torn between the Rangers and the Mariners, and I wasn't really blown away by what the Mariners did during the offseason. I know that the Rangers are getting a lot of players, kind of like the former Red Sox with, we're not going to make additions, we're just getting people back from the IL. I think the Mariners have arguably maybe a top two, top three catcher. I think Cal Raleigh is one of the only guys in Major League Baseball that can catch and hit 40 home runs. Julio Rodriguez, there's no way that he's going to do what he did last year. I'm hoping that Randy Rosarena can come back as well. Pitching is going to win you ball games, and while Kirby's out right now, you have five workhorses in that rotation. And then how many times have we heard Jake DeGrom's going down? Nate Eovaldi going down. John Gray is already down. So while I'm excited for Kumar Rocker in Texas, I think that there's an opportunity for There's more of an opportunity on upside for the Mariners than the Rangers here. I like what the Mariners can potentially bring this year. I'm going to stick with the Mariners.
Evan.
Well, I was torn as well, not between the Mariners. I don't think they hit quite enough to win a division. Not saying they can't sneak into the wild card, but I don't see that offense in that ballpark making an impact enough to win the division. I looked at the Rangers, and I kind of went through the same process that Charlie just did with their rotation, where DeGrom, you're hoping for 17 starts, right? I think that's probably best case, 20. Kumar, he's essentially a rookie. Jack Leiter hasn't looked great. John Gray's down. Eovaldi's good for, you know, a month on the IL a year, which, you know, it is what it is, but they don't really have the depth to back that. And then that brought me back down to our old friend down in Houston. And I see their corners, Christian Walker, Yainer Diaz, Isak Paredes with the short porch and left. You know, they still have Altuve. I don't know why he's playing left field. I thought that was a joke, but then I actually saw it happen. And, you know, I still really can't believe it. But his bat's still in the lineup. And, you know, the sleeping giant, probably the best hitter in the American League, Yordan Alvarez. That offense is going to bang. Not to mention their rotation, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Lance McCullers will be back this year, allegedly. We'll see. Garcia should be back. They have a couple other depth pieces that can, you know, throw some innings for them. But I'm more focused on their offense. Cam Smith, their rookie, has looked really good. Spring training. I know it's spring training, but he's looked good in small samples. And I'm just not going to bet against the Astros in any scenario, especially in that division is so up for grabs. I'm just going to go with my gut like I did with the Central. And this team's been there before. They've fought. They've battled. They have grit. And I just think they're going to come out on top.
Jason.
Yeah, this came down to me between the Astros and the Rangers. Oakland is going to improve this year. I like what they did in the offseason. I think Lawrence Butler is going to be a stud this year. So definitely something to look forward to there. But, you know, they're not division winners yet. Maybe they'll have a little bit of a party with the wild card, you know, third wild card maybe, but we'll see. Angels are a joke, as they've always been. No need to even talk about them. Seattle, you'll never get me to trust the Mariners as long as I live because they do the same thing every year. They load up on pitching. They don't add to their offense at all. They brought a Rosarena back. Like they felt no need to improve their lineup whatsoever. You know, even if Julio Rodriguez has a bounce back year, it's not enough. They're never going to score enough runs. So it really is between Houston and Texas. And I think Houston just, you know, Altuve's been an adventure in left field. I do like their rotation a little bit better than the Rangers just because I trust it more. You know, like you guys have mentioned with DeGrom, you know, he's bound to go down at any time. Nathan Eovaldi is not getting any younger. John Gray went down. But I agree with Nick about Kumar Rocker. I think he's going to have a really good year. Jack Leiter got a little bit better towards the end of the year in AAA last season. He looks like he might actually be able to crack the rotation, especially if there is an injury. And again, Texas, same argument that I made for Baltimore. They're one of these teams that they'll be aggressive at the deadline. So if they need to make an addition to get themselves over the hump, to get past Houston and win the division, I think they'll do it. And I think their lineup is just filthy. They're going to score a ton of runs. So it was a close call on this one, but I'm going to just narrowly give the division to the Rangers. But I think it is going to be a close fight for pretty much most of the season.
Jeremy.
Yeah, my analysis is not indifferent from Jason's. Angels are barely a club. I don't think the Athletics are even a year or two away, and I don't think ownership's committed to winning there. Seattle, I mean, multiple people have said it, aren't going to hit. And I know there's an issue there with DeGrom, but I just – Texas will have a bounce-back year, and they'll win the division.
So the roster I like the best in this division is the Houston Astros. If Hunter Brown and Spencer Arrigetti can build on what they did, you know, last season, that's a very experienced lineup. It's a culture that knows how to win, and you know, I think Houston would be a solid pick, but that's not who I'm picking. This is my upset special of the night. Every year I have one, and usually it's a wild card, something like that. And it's going to be either the biggest dumbass pick or it's going to be the brilliant pick. I'm going with the Oakland Athletics. They were insanely hot in the second half of last season. And I just feel like I had their thing. Oh, here we go. Brent Rooker, you know, dude can mash, just got an extension. Lawrence Butler had a pretty good year, you know, hit right at 300. Decent pop. Shea Langeliers, one of the better hitting catchers in Major League Baseball. J.J. Bleda. They're going to need a little bit, you know, from their younger players. And their rotation, you've got Luis Severino. You have J.P. Sears, Jeffrey Springs. it's serviceable. And I think playing in Sacramento, there's going to be a different energy about them. And put it in the gut feeling category, because that's what I'm going with. But I don't trust the Rangers. It just doesn't work out. They got hot last 2 years ago, and it was a nice story. It was fun to watch. I was happy they won. But and then Houston, they're desperately trying to hang on to the dynasty, but too many of them have gone. And you know, you do need Brown and Arrighetti to step up and anchor that middle part of the rotation. So I'm just going with it. I'm going with Oakland or Sacramento, whatever they call themselves now. All right, why don't we do MVPs for the American League? Nick, go ahead.
It's pretty easily. I'm going with Bobby Witt Jr. You could have argued he should have won it last year. I mean, Judge had a massive season, obviously. I don't think Judge puts up that kind of year again this year. If he does, he's going to carry the Yankees to the playoffs. That's kind of what I judge based what the Yankees are on here. If Judge does it again, they'll make the playoffs. If not, they're going to be really bad. So I think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have a good season. He's going to hit 34 home runs, steal 45 bags. He's going to have a historic season. He's going to play 160 games. He's going to lead the Royals to the playoffs, and he's going to lead them deep into the playoffs too. So Bobby Witt Jr. by a landslide, I'm going to say unanimously, I think he wins the award.
I'm going to say it's going to be a unanimous award for Bobby Witt Jr. to echo that sentiment if the Royals are able to take first place in that division. The Royals have the only player in the American League that can do what Bobby Witt does. He's the only guy that's capable of stealing 40 bags, possibly even getting to 40 home runs, hitting over 330, probably score 100 to 120 runs, get 200 plus hits, 40 plus doubles, 10, 15 triples. There's no one else in the American League that can do what he does. So again, it's Junior again.
I'm going to go with another pick from the AL Central here, from my Guardians. Jose Ramirez, man, he is the pillar of consistency. A lot of people don't know he was one home run away from going 40-40 last season while hitting 280. I think if he can go 35-35, hitting 300, playing that defense he can play on a feisty team, I think he's a sneaky pick. I think the easier pick would probably be Bobby Witt. He's probably going to win it. But if I had to just choose someone who I think is going to go off this season, who could get legitimate votes, I think Jose Ramirez is that guy, especially if the Guardians come out of that division. That should be, you know, a tough division within itself. I don't know if they're going to make a run, any of those teams, but it should be a close division. I think he's just, again, he's just Mr. Consistent. He is going to drive in over 100 runs. He's going to hit at least 35 home runs, steal a bunch of bags, and just do Jose Ramirez things. So I think that could be an interesting pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gunnar Henderson. Bobby Witt is a one-of-a-kind talent and, you know, had an amazing season last year, was a runner-up. He's going to steal, you know, 40 bags again. I don't know if he can get to 40 home runs. I think he can get close. You know, obviously, he hit over 30 last year, but he plays in a tough ballpark to do that. Kauffman's not friendly in terms of power. So Gunnar Henderson can get to 40. He hit 37 last year. He could easily hit 40, 45 this year. You know, he's going to stay healthy. Like I said, you know, it kind of ties in with me picking the Orioles for the division. I think they're going to be really good again this year. I think they're going to win their division, and I think they're going to go deep into the playoffs, you know, probably to the ALCS. Maybe even beyond that to the World Series. And I do think there is a little bit of a bias, you know, power versus speed. I do think that MVP voters, they like the, you know, the big fly more than the stolen bases. I think stolen bases still count, but Gunnar Henderson, if he hits 45 home runs, it's going to be way more impressive to MVP voters than Bobby Witt Jr. stealing 50 bases and hitting 30 home runs. It's stupid, but that's just kind of the way it's always been. And I think if the Orioles do go deeper into the playoffs than the Royals do, that's also going to help his candidacy. So I'm going to go with Gunnar Henderson.
Jeremy.
I'm going to step out on a limb. And a guy who has set himself up for a major payday in a contract year, and I'm going to take Vlad Jr. I think he's going to have a massive year. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to win, but could I see him going 45 to 50 with 130 RBIs, playing every day, staying healthy again? He's got a lot to play for. So I'm going Vlad Jr.
I am going to pick a member of the Boston Red Sox to win the MVP. And that's going to be Jarren Duran. 2 years ago, he blew everyone's expectations out of the water. If Adam Duvall never gets hurt, I don't know what's possible. I don't know what the last couple of years is, but that's how he got into the lineup. And Duvall was out for quite a while, and he was so good he managed to stay in the lineup. And I didn't believe it. I didn't think that was real life. And I was saying, you got to trade this guy this winter. You trade him. His value will never be higher. You have to trade him. Last year, he picked up where he left off right out of the gates. And I was saying, if we're out of it in this summer, you have to trade him. But the ceiling just kept getting higher and higher and higher. And it got to the point where I'm like, no way can you trade this guy. This guy, I don't know if he's a generational talent. You might have to stop a little bit short of that. But this is a perennial all-star for the next 4, 5, 6 years. And the ceiling just got high. I mean, he led the league in doubles, triples. He stole 34 bags, hit just over 20 home runs, 75 runs batted in. I think he needs to add probably at least 10 or 12 more home runs this year and add another 20 or so runs batted in to bolster my case here. He's also turned into a borderline elite defender. So, and he wasn't known for that. So who knows where he'll be playing. I guess he'll be starting probably in left field. If Campbell, for some reason, goes to the outfield, I don't know what that does to the alignment. I think Duran can play any spot, ideally left or center, but he could be an adequate right fielder. And I think the Red Sox being relevant, possibly running away with a division here, could also help bolster Duran's case, because he's going to be a major driving force in that. He can help a team win in so many ways. And I just feel like it's possible. And I certainly think no worse than top five or six, you know, barring an injury. So I'm giving it to Jarren Duran. All right, over to the Cy Young category before we shift leagues here. Nick, who's going to win the American League Cy Young?
Well, the guy I originally had was Shane McClanahan, so that's off the table now. We're going to go with Logan Gilbert in Seattle. With Kirby hurt, I think Logan Gilbert's the opening day starter out there. He's going to get every opportunity to be the ace. He's coming off a season where I think he finished like fourth or fifth in Cy Young. He's going to take the next step in that big ballpark out there. He's the only right-handed pitcher really with a chance. If you think about it, on the AL, it's Crochet, it's Reagans, it's Tarek Skubal with Shane McClanahan. It's all left-handed starters. Gerrit Cole's down. I think Logan Gilbert has a big chance to be the best right-handed starter in the American League and a chance to win the Cy Young. So I'll go with him.
Well, I'm happy that I get to actually talk about Gerrit Crochet here. I called him Baseball Jesus earlier this year, and I think after making that announcement even last year about this is my pick, I'm not going to deviate from it. I've been saying Gerrit Crochet for a year. This is the only guy in I think, Major League Baseball outside of Paul Skeens that has the ability of striking out 300 guys in a year. I really, really feel that. And if he can give you workhorse innings of 200, 220 innings, and they don't limit this man, this is a freight train coming at you with no brakes. So get out of the way. He, with an offense behind him, has the capability of winning 20 games, striking out over 300, possibly getting the triple crown for the Cy Young with the lowest ERA. I'd love to believe that all this is possible, because I'm putting all my eggs in this guy's basket. Crochet for the Cy.
You know, Crochet is a great pick. And in a dream world, he pitches to a 2-3-5. you know, pitches 190 plus innings, strikes out 220 plus guys. In a dream world, he is Tarek Skubal, because that is Tarek Skubal's exact stat line from last season. He pitches in Comerica. I think he's going to repeat. I don't see a reason why he wouldn't. He's big. He's durable. He's coming in close to triple digits from the left side. Nasty breaking stuff. I'm just gonna bet on the favorite here.
I would obviously love for Garrett Crochet to win the Cy Young. Him not pitching more than 146 innings ever in his career is kind of a concern for me. And Tarek Skubal is looking to go back to back, which hasn't been done since DeGrom like did it 6-7 years ago. So I don't think it's going to be either of those guys. I'm going with Cole Reagans again. I'm linking it to my Kansas City Royals pick. I think this is his moment to kind of do what Tarek Skubal did last year and take that big step forward and really assert himself as the most dominant left-handed pitcher in the American League. Pitched 186 innings last year, made 32 starts. So he's shown that he can do it. He's only just turned 27 years old, so he's in his prime. He's got a good defense behind him. Again, I mentioned Kauffman Stadium. It's a kind of a big ballpark, so the ball doesn't leave there a whole lot. That'll help him out. I just think it's Cole Reagan's time to kind of step forward and make a name for himself. And really that whole Kansas City team, that's kind of, you know, why I'm tying it in, because I just think they're going to make a lot more noise than people think this year. So I'm going with Cole Reagan's for your American League Cy Young.
Jeremy.
Yeah, I just love Skubal. His start in the postseason last year, essentially pitching the Tigers into the playoffs, just putting it on the line. Like, that's the type of guy I want leading my rotation. He's still on the right side of 30. He's 28. He'll be 29 in November. So I understand that DeGrom was the last one to do it, but I think if anybody has the stuff, the right age, right ballpark, I think it's Tarek Skubal.
I am going to have what Charlie's having. I just, not a lot of people outside of Boston and Chicago, unless they're looking at the Vegas betting lines, you know, Garrett Crochet is relatively unknown to your casual fans in other markets. So I think he's really going to take all those people by storm. He's currently leading all of spring training right now, just barely over Hunter Green in strikeouts, you know, for the last 5 or 6 weeks here. And I just feel like there's, like I said with my Duran pick, there's a new energy around this team. The Red Sox are going to be a force. The national writers are going to stop talking crap about us because we actually really made a good effort here to put a good team on the field, which hasn't been done since the Dombrowski era. And I think Garrett Crochet is just going to be a big part of that. I think it's going to be must-see TV every fifth day when he takes the ball. I think he's got the right personality to pitch in Boston. And I think he's got the right personality to lead this team through the month of October as far as we can go. And we'll see. But I like the Reagans pick. I took him last year. He did finish fourth in the Cy Young voting. So if you build on that just a little bit, first isn't that far away. But I'm gonna take Crochet. And so it's weird. I'm looking like a homer here. You know, I took two Red Sox players in key categories. I took them to win the division. And yeah. All right. So let's pivot now. We'll go over to the National League. This side typically goes a little bit quicker. So Nick, who do you have winning the National League East?
I got the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that has five all-stars in their starting rotation, has an extremely high floor. I think the floor of this team win-wise is like 88 wins. I mean, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Jesus Luzardo is their five guy. They got Christopher Sanchez. I mean, they have top prospect Andrew Painter still available. I mean, this team is loaded. Ranger Suarez is going into a contract year, so expect big things from him. I think the team that can go six starters deep as good as anybody in the league. I think the offense is still good enough. I know they're aging, but this team's got one or two more great years in them, and I think they still win this division. I don't think the Mets are as good as everyone thinks they are, or the rotation's lacking. The Braves, I know they're coming back. They have a lot of guys coming back from injuries. We'll see. Acuña's not ready for opening day. Schrader's going to have to be eased back in. I think their team is going to be good. I think they'll be playoff bound, but I think the Phillies will win more regular season games.
Charlie.
I'm actually going to go with the Braves here. I don't think the Mets are as sexy as they appear to be. And with all the amount of money that they spent for Juan Soto, you could just, you know, walk him a couple times a game. You're probably not going to get the same level of production out of him or the rest of the team there. It's just not the sexy pick. To me, I think even when the Braves do get Spencer Strider to come back, there's a lot more offense and sexier names, for the lack of a better term, that are going to be playing in Atlanta. And I think this is going to be Atlanta's to lose. Chris Sale is going to be coming off of arguably his best season of his career with what he did just a year after leaving the Red Sox, and quite possibly one of the most ridiculous trades of all time. And I'm not going to doubt that Michael Harris is going to potentially take a step up as well. I think Acuña is going to be back at 100% as well. So you're going to have, I think just the best team in the East putting it all together for the first time. And, you know, even with every single player that they get, they all want to be in Atlanta. The team chemistry there is absolutely incredible. You have players that could be taking contracts that are out of this world, but instead they're taking the team friendly deals for 8-9 years for like $60 million, which is mind blowing. So to me, Braves.
I'm going to take the Philadelphia Phillies here. I'm going to take the Phillies here because of all the reasons that Nick said. It's pretty self-explanatory. That rotation, good luck beating that in a playoff series. Never mind just in a three-game, you know, weekend series. That offense, I think they got one more year left in them. And because I say I think they have one more year left in them, I think Dave Dombrowski is going to go all in. Schwarber's in a walk here. Castellanos, I believe, is in a walk here pretty close. Real Muto's in a walk here. It's now or never, in my opinion. And if, you know, if the Lizardo trade didn't prove that they're going to go all in at the deadline, then I don't know what would. I got the Phillies taking this home pretty handedly. I have them at 93. And then my projection as for the division, I got the Braves at 89. So,
Jason.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Phillies. I'm not a believer that Chris Sale is going to do what he did last year. I don't think he'll even come close. And that was a big, you know, thing that fueled Atlanta last season. You know, you don't know what you're going to get out of Acuña yet. Like you guys said, he's not going to be ready for opening day. Spencer Strider, not sure we're going to get out of him either. And the Mets, I mean, Clay Holmes is their opening day starter. That's kind of all you need to say there. That rotation is severely lacking. Yeah, they got a lot of buzz because they added Juan Soto to that lineup, but their pitching scares the hell out of me. If I was a Mets fan, that rotation would scare me. You know, it's Clay Holmes, Sean Manaea. I mean, it's just, I don't feel good about that at all. So I think Phillies, you know, still got the best rotation. Yes, their offense is older, but like you guys said, I think they've got one more year left in them to kind of, you know, really just go for it. And I agree with what Evan said about Dombrowski. You know, he knows the writing's on the wall here. So trade deadline, you know, Dealer Dave is going to be very aggressive. So I like the Phillies to win the division.
Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm with Jason. I don't trust that Sale will be anything close to what he was last year, even if he does stay healthy. So, you know, to me, it comes down to Philadelphia and Atlanta. And when I look at what I expect from Sale, to me, this is an easy decision. And I'll echo the Dombrowski situation as well. I mean, he's not going to be shy. And so Philadelphia for me. And I also think they represent the best chance to make it interesting with the Dodgers.
Yeah, nothing outside the box for me on this one. I'm going with the Phillies. I think they've got one of the best rotations in all of Major League Baseball, perhaps the best. And if Andrew Painter comes up halfway through the season, he could be an absolute force in that rotation as well. And it's just that much more nastier. I like the Braves if they manage to pull this off and kind of return to form, from 2021 through 2023. More power to them. It's a fun team and I like them, but I like the Phillies as well. And on paper, they look pretty badass. So mark me down for the Phillies. Over to the National League Central. This is an interesting division, I think. A lot of ways you can go. Nick, who do you have?
This is an interesting division that I think a lot of different teams can win. The Pirates have one of the best rotations in the league. Paul Skeens, Mitch Keller, and et cetera. The Brewers still have a solid team. They have a great all-around team, great rotation, great lineup. You know, everything's solid. But I'm going to go with the team that had the best acquisition from any team in the league this offseason was the Cincinnati Reds, bringing in manager Terry Francona. They have a pretty good rotation. I think they're going to have their Rookie of the Year this year, and Rhett Lauder, I think he wins the National League Rookie of the Year. I think this team's going to finally put it together. They've been hyping this team up for a few years. Terry Francona is going to come in, lead this team back to the playoffs, a division win. And baseball is more fun when the Cincinnati Reds are good. That ballpark, they're going to mash. Ellie De La Cruz is going to mash. I know they brought in Brady Singer. He's going to solidify that rotation behind Hunter Green. And, they got Ashcraft out there, Singer, Nick Lodolo. I mean, I think they're going to be a good team, and they're going to win the division. Terry Francona is the biggest acquisition for any single team this entire offseason.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion to go first next time because the only things that Nick did not mention was the fact that Gavin Lux is coming over from the Dodgers, bringing over his expertise. Matt McClain is actually healthy this year after missing all of last season. Christian Encarnacion Strand, their first baseman, is also, I think, going to take a step up. I'm super excited with their bullpen. I know that their closer is not 100% right now, but I think Hunter Green, to your point, Terry, I know you mentioned him earlier, being one of the more electric flamethrowers in the game. I mean, this is going to be a really, really exciting team to watch. Ellie De La Cruz is exciting to watch. No other player in baseball has stolen second, third, and home in the second or in the same inning. So for that reason alone, I think the additions that they've made to the team, the trades that they've made, and then also their new manager, I really, really struggle. I mean, I thought I was going to be the only one that said the Reds here, but I mean, I would love to see them in the playoffs. So yeah, Reds.
Evan.
You know, you guys make compelling arguments for the Reds. It's got me thinking. This division was probably the hardest for me to pick because I always like to pick the Brewers. It's pretty fail-proof. 7 times out of 10, they're going to win it, at least with recent history. The Reds, for all the reasons you all just listed, very interesting team. Probably the highest ceiling in the division. I'm going to say that. As far as the floor goes, I'm not sure. But for me, my pick is the Chicago Cubs. A lot of pieces out, but also a lot of pieces in. Kyle Tucker's numbers compete with Juan Soto's if you look at it year by year. I think that's a huge piece. I know it's only for 1 year, but this is all we're talking about is 2025. So I'm just going to assume Kyle Tucker's good in right field at Wrigley. Seiya Suzuki's an elite DH as far as that division goes. Their 1-2 punch of Ibanaga and Justin Steele, that can compete with any team in that division. And I like Craig Counsell. We're talking about managers. Craig Counsell does a really good job in Chicago and, previously in Milwaukee. So I'm going to go Cubs.
Jason.
I'm going with the Cubs too. And this was definitely one of the harder divisions to pick. And you guys made great points about the Reds. I do love their rotation and obviously Ellie De La Cruz leading the charge over there. I loved the Kyle Tucker trade from Chicago. I thought that was a really good pickup for them. I also like that they brought in Ryan Pressly. They have a legit closer now too. So that really bolstered the back end of their bullpen. Their rotation is good. The top end, certainly. Steele and Imanaga, they're very good. The bottom half of their rotation can be a little bit suspect, but again, another team that could always make an acquisition at the deadline. If they're in a gridlock with Cincinnati for the division, they can go out and get a starter somewhere. Maybe that puts them over the edge. Their offense, I think they'll score runs. Pecro Armstrong, maybe another year of kind of seasoning. Maybe he'll kind of get out of the basement a little bit and start to hit the way that we think he can. Also, Matt Shaw looks like he's probably going to get the third base job either, you know, on opening day or soon after that. And he's one of their top prospects. So their offense should be better this year as well. So I like the Cubs to win it. It should be a close division again. This will be another tight one, but I like the Cubs to win it.
Jeremy.
Yeah, this is a tough division for me because of all the baseball I watch, I just feel like I don't watch a lot of the National League Central. Although they do have one of my favorite guys to watch, Ellie De La Cruz. He's an absolute electric factory. Fun team to watch, athletic team. I'm going to go Reds. Terry looks disappointed, but that's what it is.
Yeah, I am because, like Charlie said, he thought he was going to be the only one picking the Reds, and that's who I think as well. I mean, they're young, they're fun, they've got a good rotation. Nobody mentioned Hunter Green as a Cy Young candidate, but I think he'll be somewhere in the top 5 or 10. And Terry Francona, I mean, we've seen firsthand what he can do for an organization, and we've seen not just with him, but several times over what a new manager can do for a ball club. Look at the Indians last year with Stephen Vogt. The Red Sox, 3 of our 4 championships were in the first year of having a new manager. And the only one who won it not in his first year, in his first year, but beyond that, was Francona. So I just think there's a good energy there. Maybe the Brewers just do their thing and win it like they always do. Maybe this is the year for Pittsburgh. That's why this is such an interesting division. The only team I think you can definitely rule out is the Cardinals because they're actively looking to blow it up. So we'll see, but I hope the Reds do it. The bummer is they really do have crappy owners, and that's why I was a little bummed Francona took that job, because the Orioles would have fired Brandon Hyde to bring in Francona. I think the Yankees might have fired Aaron Boone to bring in Francona. So, but nonetheless, you know, everything at face value, I like the Reds. I don't think this next division is going to be interesting at all, but Nick, take your best shot at it. National League West.
I'll give the Diamondbacks some props. They went out, got Corbin Burns, got Josh Naylor, made their team significantly better. They'll make the playoffs, but they'll probably lose the division by 10 games. The Dodgers will win it. The best rotation out there, probably one of the best offense. Even though Mookie's looks like he's going to miss the beginning of the season, Freddie Freeman might miss the beginning of the season. So if anyone's going to take down the Dodgers, it's got to happen early, and the Diamondbacks are going to have to go on a big, big run. But Dodgers by a good amount, and I think a lot of people, I think everybody here will have that same outcome.
I think, yeah, if you don't pick the Dodgers, and this is like not me because I live in LA now, but this is the only team in Major League Baseball that has like a rotation one and a rotation two. They've got 5 closers in their bullpen. They have 4 MVP candidate type players in their lineup. Yeah, I mean, they just have no really big glaring holes. And if they do, they'll plug it up. They'll get somebody else. So, yeah, Dodgers all day.
You know, everyone wants to talk about the Dodgers, but has anyone taken a glance over
in Colorado? Here we go.
Yeah, looking at Bud Black and those rocks, baby. Rocktober. No, I'm just kidding. It's the Dodgers. But I will say, I have a bold prediction about this division. Obviously, I think the Dodgers are going to win it easily, 100-plus games. I think the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to finish with more wins than any American League team. I'm talking 96-97. I think that roster is very well constructed, ridiculously deep lineup. They have 2 MVP candidates, a lot of youth, a lot of spunk. I just really – something about the Diamondbacks, it really has a nice ring to it. They're like the Orioles, but they actually win the playoffs. They should have made it last year. They kind of got screwed by a really strong National League. I just something about the Diamondbacks I really, really like. I got them with, again, 96, 97 wins. But, yeah, I got to go to the Dodgers here for the division title.
Jason.
Yeah, it's the Dodgers for me. You know, not much else to really add. You guys covered it pretty well. I do think that division, Arizona is going to be a strong team this year. I agree with what Evan was saying that, you know, they're probably the second best team or, you know, maybe third best team in the NL, depending on how you feel about them versus Philly. But they're going to be a strong contender against the Dodgers this year. And, you know, the Padres will nip at their heels a little bit, but it's not going to be enough. You know, they're going to need a huge year out of Tatis and, you know, to even have a shot to compete with LA, but they're probably going to end up trading Dylan Cease midway through the year anyway. So, you know, that's going to be another contender that kind of goes by the wayside, and the Dodgers will just steamroll their way to another division win.
Jeremy.
Yeah, there's no rational basis to try to figure it out any other way. So this is the Dodgers in a runaway. You know, anything other than them winning the World Series is a failure the way they're constituted. So, I mean, this is unexciting to me.
Yeah, I picked the Giants last year. They made some good acquisitions, I thought, and didn't really pan out. It's the Dodgers, just for all the reasons you guys have said. You know, there's no weakness. On paper, it probably is the greatest team of all time. I would say that. I'm comfortable saying that. So we'll see how it plays out for them beyond the regular season. But yeah, Dodgers for me. Let's get to our MVPs. Nick?
Just to be different, because I think we're going to have a lot of Shohei Ohtanis here, I'm going to pick a guy who I think who's probably got a long shot to ever win. I think he'll get some votes this year, but he's going to replicate a season like Jaren Duran had last year. It's Rocky center fielder Brenton Doyle. I think he could put up like an 8-9 war season. Terrific fielder, won gold glove last year. Offensively, he's got a similar profile, maybe not as fast as Duran, a little bit more power maybe. I think he could have a terrific season, maybe a 30-30 type of year, great defense, and get some MVP votes. So just as a dark horse, because I think we're going to have a lot of Ohtanis here, I'll pick someone insane that I think will have a breakout year.
Yeah, big shock here. I think Ohtani's going to repeat. I don't think he's going to go 50-50, but I think he's going to do enough to get all the votes again. He's the best player in baseball, and there's no one else in the league that can do what he does. And because of that, he's going to win it. It's going to be up to another player to way exceed any expectations ever dreamed of for him to not get it. So it's going to be Ohtani's again.
Shout out, Nick, for the Rocktober mention there. Hop on the train before it's too late, folks. No, I got Corbin Carroll winning NL MVP. I just think the Diamondbacks are kind of a sleeping giant. They're overshadowed by the Dodgers. And I think if Corbin Carroll performs to his ceiling, you know, he has potential for a 30-40 type season, 30-50 type season, if that's what they want him to do. He plays very solid defense in the corner. He can play center if they needed him to. Yeah, I just like the offensive upside in a really strong and deep lineup. A lot of RBI opportunity there. He can hit leadoff or he can hit three or four if you really needed him to. I'm a Corbin Carroll truther. I think last year's first half was a fluke. I think the second half is more of what you can expect from him. And hitting between Ketel Marte and Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez, you know, that definitely helps. So I think Corbin Carroll takes home NL MVP.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go off the board as well. I do not think Ohtani is going to repeat as MVP. I think a big reason why he won it last year is because all he had to do was hit. That's all he had to focus on. Do you hear that, Rafi? Anyway, but he's going to try to pitch this year. And I'm not saying it's going to be a disaster, but I think it is going to be a lot more on his plate. We don't know how the elbow is going to hold up once he takes the mound. He might get a setback, and that might set him back at the plate as well. So I don't think it's going to happen for him this year. I think the guy who is going to win the MVP is the guy who was the runner-up last year and who I think has a big chip on his shoulder from being the runner-up. And really, if he hadn't had a bad first half, he might have won it anyway, and that's Francisco Lindor. I think Lindor is pissed off about losing to Ohtani last year. I think he wants not only himself, but the Mets to kind of make a statement this year. And I think he wants to kind of, he has that attitude of he wants the Mets and himself to be the ones looked at as we can take down Shohei and the Dodgers too. So I think Lindor is going to have a monster year. Again, he came close last year. It's just Ohtani was just a unicorn. So there was no way he was going to win. But I think he goes from runner-up to winner this year. So Francisco Lindor for me.
I'm going to go with Ellie De La Cruz. Guy that can affect the speed, athleticism, ton of fun to watch. The Reds are better, and as everyone pointed out, you know, that program is being steered by Francona, who is going to get the best out of the player. So I'm going De La Cruz.
Put this one in the gut feeling category.
Here we go.
I don't think you guys will hate it. It might be a bit of a longer shot compared to some of yours, but he turns 22 years old in April. He hit 24 bombs last year, drove in 90, stole 16 bags. Any guesses?
Jackson Merrill or Jackson?
Jackson Merrill. That's who I'm going with. You know, I don't know if the Padres are going to make the playoffs or not, but if they do, he'll certainly have a lot to say about it. He's got tons of veterans on that team to lean on. Manny, Xander, Tatis at this point, I would say, is a veteran. So we'll see, but he's a five-tool guy, and, you know, if his ceiling is higher than what he did last year as, you know, basically a rookie, I mean, that's in the conversation for MVP. So we'll see how that goes. All right. Our Cy Youngs for the National League side. This could be really interesting. Nick, go ahead.
I think we're going to get a lot of Paul Skenes. I don't think you guys are high on Chris Sale. I'm going to go with a guy who's probably been the best pitcher in Major League Baseball for the last 5 years and somehow has never won a Cy Young. Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Wheeler, he's constantly gone out there. He's posted. He's gone out there and eat 220 innings. He's the best pitcher in baseball, constantly, never hurt, always performs in the playoffs. Zach Wheeler deserves a Cy Young. He's going to get his Cy Young this year, and that team's going to win the division behind his right arm. And, yeah, Zach Wheeler finally gets one. There's going to be a lot of competition, though, and Paul Skenes obviously is going to be up there. I think Chris Sale will be okay. I don't think he'll win the Cy Young, but he'll have a lot of competition. Spencer Strider's got to come back. I don't know if he'll get the innings. You know, Blake Snell's still out in the National League. There's a lot of competition, but Zach Wheeler is going to be the best of them all.
So I made this selection a couple of years ago, and I went back to back, and someone asked me if I was on drugs. So shout out to you, moron. Anywho, I'm going Andrew. Corbin Burnes here. I'm going Corbin Burnes here. I think he's bringing it back, man. I mean, I love the tenacity, that we don't wear seatbelts in the car feeling that Nick Diamond has right now, but I just don't know if I can get behind it right now. I feel like you might have just cursed him because he has been an absolute force in Philly. But I think Corbin Burnes is going to take it again, man. He's done it before. He's been the best. He knows how to get there. I don't know if he'll lead the league in strikeouts like he has in the past, but I mean, if you're talking about an absolute workhorse, that's your definition of workhorse. The guy's going to give you 6+ innings. He'll throw 100+ pitches every 5 days. He's thrown 33, 32, 32, and 28 games each of the last 4 years. So the guy just doesn't miss time, and I don't think he's going to miss the Cy this year.
Evan.
My pick here, he's only pitched over 130 innings twice in his career. Both of those times he's won Cy Young. I think a lot of people can guess it's Blake Snell. I think he's set up to have a pretty managed workload, but within that managed workload, his stuff is pretty much unrivaled throughout the game. He's projected, I just did a rough projection. I figure if they're doing a 6-man rotation like they've talked about, as long as they're healthy, he'll probably go 5 innings every 6 days, 28 to 30 starts. That's roughly 150 innings. I think that's enough for Blake Snell to take home the Cy Young. both of his Cy Youngs, he was at 180 innings flat. I don't know if he gets there with all the depth that they have, but I'd like to see it. I don't think that division, aside from the Diamondbacks, is that crazy offensively. I know a lot of people like the Padres. I don't, you know, they don't do anything for me. I think I'm a Blake Snell guy this year. I think he's going to three-peat. Also, voter familiarity is real. A lot of those guys, I'm convinced, don't do research to any degree. They just look at the ballot the day of and go, oh, yeah, Blake Snell, he's won before. I voted for him. That, you know, I'm not going to get laughed off the board. I'm going to go Blake Snell.
Yeah, I'm also – yeah, I'm going to go with Blake Snell too. And this was a tough call because I wanted to go Skeens, but I don't know. I just feel like he feels like an injury waiting to happen to me, and I hate to say that because I don't want that to happen to him. But I feel like it's all going – like it's steamrolling too much for him right now. And I feel like he's going to get overworked in Pittsburgh this year, and, you know, that's going to hurt him in the long run. So I like Blake Snell to win it. He's been kind of a different pitcher ever since he moved to the NL West at this stage of his career. All his ERA and everything improved. His strikeouts improved. He's giving up less home runs. I think the only concern is kind of what Evan brought up, and that's that the Dodgers are such a wagon that is Blake Snell going to get to 180 plus innings, you know, or is it just going to be he pitches five innings, the Dodgers are up 12-0. Okay, pull him because we got a bullpen full of, you know, samurais out there. So, you know, we don't need Snell to go seven innings every night. That might be the only thing that actually hurts him. It's just that, you know, the voters at the end of the year look at it and say, well, you barely had to do anything. Like, yeah, you went 17-4, but you pitched 160 innings because your team is such a wagon. That might end up hurting him. But I just think he's due. And this has kind of been the trend for Blake Snell. Like, he wins a Cy Young, has a couple of years where he doesn't do anything. You know, he's kind of around in the voting, but not really. He won it 2 years ago, so now's a good time for him to get back in there. And especially with a loaded team like the Dodgers, he could easily rack up 17, 18 wins and rack up over, you know, well over 200 strikeouts. And then there you go. He's right there. So I think Blake Snell's going to win it this year.
Jeremy.
Wow. I'm blown away that I'm the only one that believes this, but I think it's going to be Skeens, and I think it's his award to lose. I think he's got the best stuff. He's going to punch out a ton of guys. He has no injury history. This will be his second year in the bigs. I mean, the only thing that could hamper him is this team. But, you know, we've seen guys with extraordinary strikeout numbers win on bad teams. So I just think he's got the best stuff. I think his mentality is great. I also think he's the golden child of you know, MLB young players right now. He was on MLB The Show, I believe. Was it last year? Or maybe I don't have that right. I just see him everywhere. You know, so I don't know. To me, he's the best pitcher in baseball, and this will be the year I think he shows that.
All right, I'm going to go sort of outside the box. I might be early to the party on this one. I don't know if he'll win the Cy Young this year, but I think there's a good chance he does win it in the coming years. He was a rookie last year, but I'm going to go with a young Atlanta Braves pitcher, Spencer Schwellenbach. The dude has been lighting it up in spring training right now. 18 innings pitched, 26 Ks. That's a 12.5 strikeout per nine. Second half of last season, the strikeouts were ticking up more and more. He doesn't walk a ton of guys. Last season, he had a 5.52 strikeout to walk ratio. Just a really good, solid, you know, starting pitcher. And, you know, Spencer Strider was all the rage. Now they got another pitcher named Spencer. The only thing that does give me pause is that division is pretty stacked. So he's going to have to do it in one of the best divisions in Major League Baseball. But I like him. He's exciting. And I think the future is bright for Braves pitching. So I'm a bad host, and this is my last show until next winter in the host seat, but I forgot the wild cards. So we need to pivot back to the American League real quick and just because it's been literally several minutes since we did there, go through your three division winners again. Just list them off and then go ahead and get into your wild cards. So, Nick, who do you have?
So I got the Red Sox, Royals, and the Rangers in order. My wild cards are the Orioles are the fourth wild card, or the first wild card, fourth seed. Yankees are the fifth seed, second wild card, and I have the Tigers as the sixth seed. I think the AL is very bad. I don't remember whose pick take it was, but the Diamondbacks are going to win more games than anyone in the AL. I can kind of believe that. I don't think the AL is good. I mean, I had the Red Sox at 89 wins. I had like the Royals at 91 wins, and I think I've had the Rangers at 96 wins. The Rangers are a couple injuries away from like an 85, 86 win team, and the AL is terrible. I mean, the Yankees are down bad. Besides the Tigers, the Mariners, and maybe the Guardians, I don't think there's any other teams that really could make the playoffs. I think the Astros are bad. I really do. So I'm going to pick those three teams. The Orioles are down. The Yankees are down. The Tigers are on their way up. But I think those three teams are still the next best three in the AL.
So for me, yeah, for me, I have the Royals, I have the Rangers, and I have the Orioles as my third team. I didn't pick the Orioles to beat the Red Sox in the AL East. I thought they were going to be the team that kind of snuck in. I think the Rangers are the closest team to match up to the division winner that I thought could have been the winner. I know everyone else, for the most part, picked Rangers. Terry with the Athletics, with the you know, boys out in Oakland or Sacramento or wherever. And then the Royals, I also think for some of the reasons where you guys all mentioned it, whether it be the offensive onslaught, the fact that the rotation took a little bit of a step in the right direction, they have a really good closer there as well. Yeah, those are my three. So my division guys were the Red Sox, the Tigers, and the Mariners, and my three wild cards, excuse me, are the Royals, Rangers, and Orioles.
Evan, and who are your division winners first, just to remind everyone?
I got the Sox, Guardians, and Astros winning their respective divisions. And as far as wild card teams go, I got the Rangers one game behind the Astros, 88 wins. I hate to say it, but I can't really envision a playoff scape in this day and age without the Yankees in it. As long as they have Aaron Judge, I'm not really going to bet against them too harshly. I got them at the number two seed with 87 wins, or the number two wild card, I'm sorry. And then I got the Mariners, say 86 wins, sneaking in there. They tend to loom in the playoff race until the final week of the season. I think something has to break their way one time or another, and I think this year might be the year because of how weak the landscape is.
Jason.
So for my division winners, I've got Baltimore, Kansas City, and Texas winning their respective divisions. My wild cards in order, I got the Red Sox as the four seed. I've actually got Toronto as the five seed and the Tigers as the six seed. Toronto, to me, like, they're a team that could sneaky be a little bit dangerous this year. I agree with Jeremy's take about Vlad Jr. I think he's going to go off this year, and I don't think Toronto is going to trade him at the deadline. I think they really believe they have a shot to keep him. They're wrong, but that I think they do believe that. Bo Bichette looks like he's back. He's had an amazing spring. They added Santander to that lineup as well. I think Toronto is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. They could be better than the Yankees right now, especially with all the injuries that New York went through. I certainly like Toronto's lineup better. Their rotation can be a little bit suspect, but again, you know, there's always moves that can be made later. So I think Toronto will make a little bit more noise this year. And I do like the Tigers kind of squeaking back in. I think Skubal will have another phenomenal season. They've got a good manager over there too. He knows how to get his team to win. And I just think some of these other teams that, you know, we feel like are always a shoo-in, like the Astros, the Twins, like, oh yeah, the Mariners, like those teams that we always think, yep, you know, they're guaranteed a playoff spot. I think this is the year that they finally all take a step back and realize the way we've been doing it for X amount of years isn't working now. You know, Houston needs to realize that the dynasty is over. The Mariners need to realize they need offense. The Twins, same thing. So I think teams like that will finally miss the playoffs. And I think that's why teams like Toronto and Detroit will squeak in. So again, I got the Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Tigers as my three wild cards.
Jeremy.
So my division winners were the Yankees, Kansas City, and Texas. I'm going with the Red Sox, Detroit, and I've been going back and forth on the third wild card. And I think Seattle's pitching is good enough to get them in, probably in that last spot. So that's who I'm going with.
All right, my division winners again, Red Sox, Royals, and yes, the goddamn Oakland A's winning the West. This is uncomfortable because there's just a lot of mediocrity. Which brand of mediocrity do you like the best when you're picking these wild cards? But I'm going to go Astros. Like I said, I'm pretty comfortable with their roster, so that's an easy one for me. I'm going to go with the Tigers. I just think Hinch is going to rally them. But this is where I'm getting uncomfortable. And Jason, I did have the Blue Jays in there until a minute ago, and I crossed them out. That's on there. I can't get it. But I'm going to put the Rays in there. Shane McClanahan, apparently they're not worried about the tricep issue. If you guys remember 2013, John Lackey did something similar in his first or second start, missed a month. The rest was history. I just think that's going to be that team is just going to be sneaky good. Another fun fact, they have very few home games in July and August. I think that was by design because it's an outdoor stadium, Steinbrenner Field. The Yankees were nice enough to let them basically take over their spring training complex. And I was watching the Rays play the Yankees in that stadium. It is a pretty nice stadium, so. But yeah, so notably, I don't have the Rangers doing it. I just feel like they fall apart. I don't trust the rotation. I like the Rangers, so if I'm wrong, you know, more power to them. I think the Yankees might not even win 80 games this year. Judge could get hurt. Let's not forget that. I mean, he was healthy last year, but he gets banged up. He goes down, and Carlos Rodon is another guy, gets hurt all the time. He's their ace at this point. Well, maybe Fried is actually, but still you can't, there's no pathway. If Rodon does go down, I just don't love that team. So I've got the Rangers, Yankees, and Mariners, missing it. And I'm sure those are popular playoff picks in some form or another. So, let's pivot back over to the, National League and, go through those wild cards. I feel pretty sure about my picks when it gets back around to me. But, Nick, who do you like?
So my division winners were the Phillies, the Reds, and the Dodgers. My wild card picks, I'm pretty confident in this as well. Diamondbacks, Braves, Mets. I think there's some competition there in the last one. I think the Mets rotation is really weak. I think there are a couple of teams like the Brewers, the Cubs, that could be in that mix. Even the Padres, I think, could win 85, 86, 87 wins. So I think there's a few teams that can mess with the Mets in that division or in that wild card race, but I think the Mets will have the better roster. I know they'll go out and add pitching at the deadline if they really need to. If they're in the race, they're going to add pitching. I have no they're going to get what they need to do, get what they need to improve, and they'll make the pro season. So I think we're going to have a stacked National League with powerhouses, Phillies, Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, the Braves, and the Mets are going to battle it out. I think it's going to be a great postseason on the NL side. The NL is super strong compared to the AL. So I think at least the top two teams, the Diamondbacks and the Braves, I think they're locks. I think the Mets you could argue with. But we'll see what you guys say.
Yeah, so really quickly for my leaders, I was the only one that picked the Braves. Everyone else picked the Phillies. I picked the Reds along with the majority of you guys. And then we all obviously swept for the Dodgers here. So the teams that I have going in wild card in order, Diamondbacks, Phillies, and I really, really wanted to pick the Pirates, but whenever I pick this like Cinderella story team, I usually get egg on my face. So I'm going with the Cubs here for all the reasons that Evan and Jason had mentioned earlier as to why they thought that they were going to end up winning the division. I think that these three teams are possibly division winners in the American League. As Nick had mentioned, there is such a huge variance of talent between the American League and the National League. The National League playoffs are going to be very exciting to watch. The American League, not so much, because all of the best talent, for the most part, is playing in the National League. It has been dominated by one team, but that shouldn't, you know, dictate why 29 other teams aren't doing the same level of damage as far as acquisitions and trades. But yeah, so Diamondbacks, Phillies, Cubs.
For me, my division winners were the Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers. My three wildcard teams, they are the same as Nick's. I think in a different order, though. I got Diamondbacks, Mets, Braves. The Braves kind of dealt with the injury bug lately. Sean Murphy's out for a little bit. Strider's obviously working his way back. Acuna's working his way back. Albies is always hurt. You know how it goes. But they're the Braves at the end of the day. I think they're going to sneak in there. The Mets I have in there for the same reason that I have the Yankees. Any team with Juan Soto is a wild card team floor in my opinion, barring anything crazy. And like Nick was saying, Steve Cohen will go out and get who they need to get. And then the Diamondbacks, just to echo my confidence in them, 97 wins, that arguably the greatest wild card team in modern memory. I'm excited to see how the National League pans out. There's definitely some interesting options, but the NL East, man, it's stacked.
Yeah, so my division winners were also the Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers. My wild cards, I've got the Diamondbacks, I've got the Mets, and I've got the Reds. I do not have the Braves making the playoffs this year. I can't with the injury bug, it's too big on that team. There's just too much of it going around. I think the Chris Sale thing was a flash in the pan. Strider, that feels to me like it's going to be setback after setback, and who knows what you're going to get out of him. Acuna should come back and be healthy, but at the same time, that's a massive injury that he suffered, and he's a big part of their offense. So, and I don't think, you know, Marcelo Ozuna is not getting younger. I don't think he's going to keep doing what he's done the last couple of years. So I just feel like the Braves will take that small step back. That's just enough for a team like the Reds that is young, that, you know, all their players are starting to get into their prime. Their rotation is, you know, really, really good. And now they've got a really good manager at the helm leading the way. That's just the extra, that's the icing on the cake. So I think the Reds will take that step forward, leapfrog the Braves, and they'll be in the wild cards. So again, I got Diamondbacks, Mets, Reds as the three wild cards.
So my division winners were the Phillies, the Reds, and the Dodgers. I'm going with the Braves, Diamondbacks, and Padres. I don't believe in the Mets. I know this is a little cliche, but I really believe it because the Mets are going to do something that you can't even predict. Something crazy is going to happen. I just don't believe. I think they're a loser organization. And I know they're throwing money at it, and I know they're trying, and I commend them for that. But they're just a loser organization. That's what I'm going with.
So I went with the Phillies, Reds, and Dodgers. And two wild card teams are, you know, easy for me, the Diamondbacks and the Braves. After that, you can slot five teams into that last wild card spot. I'm actually going to put the Padres in there. I think they have a very robust lineup. They've got a nice 1-2 punch at the back of their bullpen. Jason Adam, Robert Suarez, and like I said, you can make a case for two or three Hall of Famers in that lineup. Plus, they've got Tony Gwynn 2.0 at first base, Luis Arraez, who's just a hitting machine. So I'm going to give it to the Padres. And so I guess in the final segment here, we will do our World Series matchups. And before I do, I just want to say, I mean, we're still on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We always will be. Those are going to be our two most predominant platforms. But we are streaming on a few other apps right now. We have a live audience of 307 people. And that number has just gotten bigger as we've gone on. So people are hanging out with us. We appreciate that. It has been a longer show as well. So, all right. So go ahead, Nick. Who's going to the World Series?
In the American League, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Royals. I just think the American League is so wide open. I think any team who makes the playoffs, I think if the Athletics make the playoffs, there's a chance they make the World Series. I think it's so wide open. Any team can win. I think this the AL playoffs will be led by one player. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to take over. He's going to get hot and lead that team to a World Series. That doesn't mean they're going to win it. I don't think the American League has a chance to win any World Series they're in, to be honest. I think you could put up five teams in the National League and say they're a better team. I think the Dodgers are not going to repeat. They're really not. I think they're going to go in the playoffs. They're going to get slapped around by some team that's significantly worse than them. And the Phillies are going to walk right back into the World Series. And they're finally going to win it. With that rotation, they're six deep. They have six potential all-stars in that rotation. So I'm going to go Phillies over the Royals in four.
Wow. That might be the boldest call of the night. I actually have a little bit of nostalgia. So Dodgers going back, obviously no surprise there. I'm actually going to pick the Boston Red Sox to go to the World Series this year. It's going to be a repeat of 2018. It's not going to end the same way, but it's at least going to be interesting. And I think the Dodgers will win this one in six. I think that there's a lot that could potentially go wrong for the Royals. I know that I had a hunch Nick was going to go that direction. I just have a feeling that if you can shut down Bobby Witt, which is possible, he's not, you know, super Jesus here. There's a chance that you can take out the rest of the Royals. So for that reason, I think it's going to be Boston. And then obviously the best team in baseball the last 100 plus years, I think they're going to have another shot and they're going to win it again and go back to back.
My matchup, I got the Fightin' Phils out of Philadelphia. Like I said earlier, I think it's finally the year. And then I got them against the Sox kid. I think an underappreciated aspect of this offseason, as far as the Boston Red Sox go, is playoff and World Series experience. Just in additions, Walker Buehler, Alex Bregman, Aroldis Chapman, all World Series experienced players. And then obviously you have Devers lingering from the 2018 team, even though he was just a baby. And then 2021, of course, the playoff run. Alex Cora is an experienced manager. And I think that's where the Red Sox have the edge over a majority of the American League that are legitimate contenders this year. I think they have that spunk. I think they're going to get a midseason acquisition, so to speak, from Roman Anthony. As soon as he's ready, Marcelo Meyer is knocking on the door. They have plenty of prospect capital in Miguel Blase and, you know, names like that, Franklin Arias, Yoan Cespedes behind them to go make an addition for Dylan Cease, Michael King, or even aim higher and go get, you know, another bat or whatever they need at the deadline. I think they're willing to do it. I like Devers out of the DH spot. As long as Trevor Story stays healthy, our middle of the infield's, you know, solid, at least better than it has been. I like our bench depth. Yeah, but I got this. After all of that, the mighty Dave Dombrowski giant will slay the Boston Red Sox upstart team and take it down in six games.
So I've got the Arizona Diamondbacks going to the World Series from the National League side, and I've got them facing the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series. And I've got the Diamondbacks winning in six games. I think this is finally their year. I mean, Evan put it best. Like, if they're in the American League, they're winning the pennant easily. The American League is pretty weak this year. And I think Baltimore will make it all the way. Like I said earlier, when I picked them to win the division, I could see them having an aggressive trade deadline and going out and getting, you know, another big starter, maybe a big bat for their lineup if they've got an injury. I think Gunnar Henderson is going to win the MVP. So I think Baltimore is going to have a really, really good season. But Arizona is still a better team. I like their rotation a lot more. I think Josh Naylor is going to become like a superstar over there because he was hiding away in Cleveland for so long. And now he's going to be on the World Series stage with that team. People are going to see, you know, what a good hitter he really is. Ketel Marte might have another MVP type of year. If I believe Evan, it was you who picked Corbin Carroll to win MVP. So if Evan's right, then they've got two MVP candidates in their lineup. I think they will be the ones to take down the Dodgers in the NLCS, and I think they'll go to the World Series. And it'll be back and forth a little bit, but ultimately Arizona's going to prove they're the better team. So I think they will beat the Orioles in six for the World Series.
Jeremy.
I'm going Royals, Dodgers, and it will be the most boring World Series of my lifetime.
That's the take.
That's the take. I'm not going to get into it, like, are the Dodgers ruining baseball thing here, but they're so stacked. They can overcome any number of injuries. I mean, they're just so complete. And let's say they do have a significant loss and they can't fill it within the organization. They've shown they'll go all in. They will do literally whatever it takes to give them the every chance to win. And they're just so stacked. To me, it's a foregone conclusion. The Dodgers are going to win this thing.
All right, so I also have the Boston Red Sox going to the World Series. I think they're the best team in the American League. I think, like I said, there's an energy around them. I just feel like it's going to be special. The chemistry is going to be good. I think you go back to the 2007 World Series, you had Ellsbury and Pedroia, you know, as rookies playing big roles there. Two of your big three could essentially be those two players. So I like the Red Sox. The team that I'm sending to the World Series from the National League reminds me of the 2004 Red Sox. And that's the Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, you've got your Pedro and your Schilling, you know, between Wheeler and Nola, two extremely veteran players at this point. You've got Schwarber and Castellanos as your Kevin Millar and Trot Nixon type guys in your lineup. And then you got Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Alec Bohm took a big step forward last year. Bryson Stott, a quality guy. And then you even got sneaky good guys that can play big roles like Brandon Marsh. And I'm forgetting one more. I'm not going to dig for, Kepler, actually, who they acquired this winter. And even I would even dare say that JT Realmuto is a Jason Varitek like presence on that team. They remind me so much of the 2004 Red Sox, and I have them winning it this year. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's the Red Sox. John Henry is going to be pretty peeved if he loses a World Series to Dave Dombrowski. I'm not rooting for it like I was the last couple of years. The Phillies are my October team when the Red Sox aren't in there. And the interesting thing about the Diamondbacks, I like them like you guys do, but Mike Hazen, longtime Red Sox executive, building that team. And then you got Torrey Lovello, the guy I desperately wanted to be the next manager after John Farrell. You would have had to have fired Farrell a year earlier to do that. But there you have it. Where a lot of us are pretty high on Boston for a change. If you would have told me when I was ragingly tweeting against Kennedy and Breslow in November and December, you know, just chill out, Terry. You'll end up liking it, and you're even going to send him to the World Series. So it's fun. It's going to be a fun year of podcasting. This could be like, not just for us, but for Red Sox podcasting in general. It's a saturated market. There's a bunch of us out there. We're towards the top of that market, luckily, after all these years of hard work. But this could be a golden era for all of Red Sox content creators. It's going to be fun. So we will wrap on that. We did pretty good, 93 minutes. When you got six guys giving tons of takes, that's good. To all the live audience that hung out with us, we're up to 328 now, which is really cool to see. So Everyone enjoy opening day on Thursday. I won't rule out an emergency pod if an extension happens. So we'll just kind of play it by ear. But if all is quiet, enjoy opening day in Texas. Garrett Crochet gets the ball. Take care.